Bruchim Habayim, everybody. Excellent. Great to be back again. Parsha Insights, Parsha Shoftim. Already a few days of Chodesh El have passed. There used to be a time where you said the name Elul and people would shake and sitter. People would nearly, if not actually, faint. I know they used to say in some cities that even the fish used to sit there and shake from hearing Elul. I just saw earlier today, Hagoyin Baruch Mord Chazrachi, Zoleh Gezunt and Shtark Zayin, that he clapped on the bima and Mamish shook when he said the name Elul. Already a few days into Elul, but we'll try to learn from today's shir that it will, Bezus Hashem, be a golden opportunity. The shir is being sponsored and learned Lizecha Nishmas Ulili Nishmas Rebecca Basarina and Leon Ben Rachel, Bezus Hashem, the Rishama Tahira Zalhobin, a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. Really wonderful after the last number of weeks to be able to have the shir again. One, hopefully, whether you're here in the Heichel listening to the recording, at home when the recording is sent out, hopefully Bezus Hashem will get chizuk, and we'll be able to say over the Peshatim on Shabbos Kodesh to enhance our Shabbos. Once again, Bruchim Haboyim Mishem Hashem, welcome to Parsha Insights, Parsha Shoftim, and the beginning of Chodesh El as we approach Yimei Din Rosh Hashanah, Tovshin Pei Gimel, Habaleinu L'Toiva. In the parsha, we're only going to do the first few words. The pasuk tells us, "Shoyftim v'shoyftim titen l'cha b'chol sharecha." Now, literally, it's talking about establishing just courts and establishing a judicial system where you had to appoint judges and officers in your cities. A number of the mefarshim, most notably, I saw brought down by the Tzror Hamar. He says such a powerful explanation. It's really the only words we're going to do tonight in the parsha, then branch out into Chodesh Elul. Literally, as we said a moment ago, it's a reference to appointing judges and officers in your cities, in your gates. Says the Sefer Tzor Hamar, here's how you should read it. You know, sometimes we are very judgmental, but that is judgmental towards other people. We find the faults in the other people, and yet when it comes to judging ourselves or finding fault in ourselves, that we seem to have very good defense mechanisms and shields of why we're not at fault. In fact, I remember once seeing a pshat, you find the Torah tells us, Tomei Tomei Yikra. Literally, he calls out Tomei Tomei. But perhaps those words could be understood as Tomei. The person that he himself is not pure, Tomei Yikra. He'll call everybody else Tomei. Everybody else is at fault. Everybody else is impure. But he'll never be judgmental and find fault in himself. And very often that's human nature. Elul grants us the gift. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants to give us a passing test. The Ribbono Shel Olam quantitatively and qualitatively wants to give us the ability to improve our ways. That is the gift of tshuva, the gift of Chodesh Elul, the ability not to point the finger at others, but to look inside internally and see, what is it about me? Says the Sefer Tzor Hamar, Shoyftim v'shoytrim, you're setting up judges and officers, titei lecha, set it up for yourself. Appoint these officers for yourself, b'chol sharecha. I remember once seeing an added concept, b'chol sharecha refers to all the gates of your body. You have two gates known as the eyes and the nose and the ears and the mouth. There are many gates that a person has on their body. The pasuk is teaching us, shoyftim v'shoytrim titei lecha. You want to set up judges and you want to set up officers, set it up l'cha for yourself. In other words, judge yourself. See what it is that I can do during the gift of tshuva and the month of Elul to make a type of meaningful change. Certainly, at no time should a person be judgmental, hold somebody's inventory, and be critical of someone else. But especially during Yemei Elul, remember how often Tamei Tamei Yikra, the person who's Tamei, he'll find fault in everybody else, but not himself. Parsha Shoiftim in the beginning of Chodesh Elul is teaching us Shoiftim v'Shoitrim titein lecha, set up the judges and the officers for you. Judge yourself. Be critical of yourself in the sense, look inside and see what is it that I need to work on. By the way, we mentioned a moment ago that there are many gates that a person has, the eyes, their ears, many different parts of their body. Over the summer, when I was saying Nishmas on Shabbos morning, it's not totally relevant to the shir, but I think it's a nice ha'ara, something to think about. In the extremely powerful tefillah of Nishmas that we say, I noticed that it says many of the parts of the body. In Nishmas it says, Ilu finu if, and there's a number of ifs that are given. Ilu finu male shira kayom. If, let's say, our mouth were as full as of song as the sea, ushaynenu rina kahamun galav, and our tongue as full as a joyous song like the waves, v'sifsoysenu shevech kemecha v'rakia, and our lips were as full of praise as the width and breadth of the heavens, v'einenu me'iras kashemesh v'chayareach, and our eyes as brilliant as the sun and the moon, V'yadenu perusos kinishrei shamayim, our hands were spread out like that of an eagle of the sky, v'raglenu kalos ka'ayolos, and our feet as swift as deer. We still could never sufficiently thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I noticed something, maybe you'll tell me you saw it many times, I just saw it or thought of it now. For all of the parts of the body, there's one metaphor or one thing mentioned allegorically. We find one for Yadenu, our hands, one for Raglenu, our feet, one for Eimenu, our eyes. Yet when it comes to the mouth, the power of speech, there are three. There you find that the Tefillah tells us, Ilu Finu, referring to our peh, our mouth, Ulishaynenu, referring to our lips, referring to our tongue, Visifsaysenu, referring to our lips. I found it very interesting that when it came to all of the others, it was mentioned once, Yodenu once, Raglenu once, Eimenu once. Yet when it came to the mouth, all of a sudden it's broken down into three, your mouth, your tongue, your lips. And I happen to have been visiting a gadol at a time that I thought of this and I shared the insight with him. And we went back and forth with a few different answers. I'm leaving the question with you. Certainly the easiest answer and the most obvious, I should say, would be, it's to show you the power of speech. The power of speech is so extreme. We know Chaim and Mavis Biyad Halosh, and life and death is in the power of the tongue and the power of speech, that although hands and feet and eyes only have one, mouth is given three. But be it as it may, getting back to the Pshat of the Tzor Hamor, Shoyfte v'shoytre tite l'cho b'chol she'orecha, be a judge over yourself. That, as we said, is the gift of tshuva and the time of Elul. For a person to think about themselves, for a person to think what it is that they need to improve. There's a well-known story, I actually think we might have said it many years ago, but it really expresses how people are so quick to find fault with others and they find themselves to be faultless. There was a milkman and a baker. They did business together, and the baker claims one day in a court, the milkman constantly cheats me. Every day I get a flask and a carton of milk that's supposed to weigh 1 kilogram. But when I actually weigh it, it's only 900 grams. the judge listening to the milk that felt it was a legitimate accusation. I see from people's facial recognition you're familiar with the story. He felt that which the baker said was fair. He turned to the milkman and said, what do you have to say for yourself? Do you have a scale? The milkman says, no. Then how in the world do you weigh your products? How could you possibly know that you're giving him a full kilogram of milk if you don't weigh it? Innocently, the milkman said, I don't have that type of scale. What I have is not the scale that I could weigh and that has a weight, but I have a scale that has two sides, and I place the container of milk on one side. And what is it, wondered the judge to the milkman, that you place on the other side? Do you have a kilogram weight? He says, no, but every day I purchase from the baker a kilogram of weight of bread. So I simply take his bread that he's been giving me, I put it on my scale, and in proportion to that, that's the amount I give him. Obviously, the judge at that point turned to the baker and said, it's you that's been cheating the milkman. It's you that's been giving the milkman only 9/10 of the kilogram. He's been weighing his milk against your bread. It's you who started the cheating by only giving him 900 grams of the weight of bread. And that's really what the Parsha is teaching us. Shaitim v'shaitim titein lecha. You want to accuse this person of that one's wrong and that one's at fault and critical of that one. But take a look. It's actually originating from you. They say over another story, and again, it's not meant to make light of any particular situation, so please do not hear the humorous story and do anything more than take it in the way that it said over. There was a fellow who felt that he should buy a hearing aid for his wife. He felt that she was constantly ignoring him. It was affecting their shalom bayis. In all likelihood, it was because she was having a hearing loss, difficulty with the hearing, and therefore he felt that the best thing I could get her is a hearing aid. When he went to the store, the fellow told him, we have many different types of different qualities of different prices. Bring her in. He said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to trouble her to come in. I want it to be a surprise. I'm not bringing her in. So how could I possibly know which one? So the fellow in the store tells the husband, here's what you'll do. When you go home, the best advice I could give you is for you to measure her hearing loss by speaking to her from a distance, and then continuously move closer and closer until you determine that that's when she's able to hear your voice. And then you'll tell me it was from 12 feet away, 30 feet away, 50 feet away, and then I'll know which one to go ahead and to give her. He said it was a great idea. He goes home to quote, end quote, test it and see his wife's loss of hearing. So he starts by the bottom of the steps and he calls up, I'm home, how are you? And there's no response. He goes halfway up the steps and he says again, I'm home early, what's for supper? A second time, there's no response. He finally enters the floor that she's on and calls out a third time, I'm really looking forward, what is for dinner tonight? Again, no response. Finally, for the fourth and final time, he's in the kitchen and he practically yells from behind her, I'm home, so what are you cooking? At which point, she turns around and she says, four times I told you hello, and four times I told you what I'm cooking for supper. How many times do you have to ask the same question? And that's when he realized that the difficulty in hearing was with him. The difficulty in being able to hear was him and not her. While it's a humorous story, that's mamish the way we are many times during the year. How many times do I have to tell you? And why is it that you can't? And sometimes it takes a type of story like that for us to realize I'm the one who has to hear better. I'm the one who has to improve. As the Pasuk tells us, Shaitin Nishaitim Titein Lecha B'chol Sharecha. We have to see how we could improve. What is it that I could do to hear the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu better? I want to tell you a beautiful pshat absolutely magnificent. Earlier today, one of our mispalim, our Balkayer, Rav Naftali Axelman, he shared with me this Dvar Torah. I thought it was fabulous. When the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Samach Amud Beis, is speaking about this concept, cleanse yourself before you start cleansing others. Look inside and critique yourself before you critique others. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Samach Amud Beis, tells us, right at the very end of Perek Cheskas HaMatim, the Gemara says, Reish Lakish tells us, Kishoit Atzmecha. Kishoit is in the word Aramaic, Kishitim, jewelry, adorn. First put jewels on yourself, adorn yourself. V'acharkach Kishoit Acherim, and only afterwards should you adorn and put jewelry on others. And of course, what it means over here with the metaphor to adorn yourself with jewelry is cleanse yourself before you cleanse others. As we've been saying since the shir started, titei lecha, look in before you look out. So Naftali Axelman wondered so powerfully, why is it that when Reish Lakish is explaining this concept about cleansing yourself before others, why does the Gemara say kishoit atzmecha v'achar kach kishoit acherim? Kishoit, as we said a moment ago, is from the Aramaic word kishitim, which is jewelry. Why doesn't it use a more common or more basic word, fix yourself, rectify yourself, cleanse yourself? There's a lot of words that we could use, but why specifically does Reish Lakish use the word for jewelry, adorn yourself? And I'm left to understand that means cleanse yourself. It's an unusual word to use to prove the point, cleanse and rectify yourself. Why in terms of the metaphor of jewelry? To my Dikakasha. Rav Naftali shared with me his own chiddush, and I told him I would say it over. I really thought it was absolutely fabulous. Which jewelry is it referring to? If you take a look, he feels it's referring to a very specific jewelry. The Gemara tells us that when we were by Har Sinai, 600,000 strong, we called out Naseh V'Nishma. We will do and we will listen. The Gemara tells us that the Malachi Asharis came down and presented us with 1.2 million crowns, one crown for Naseh, another crown for Nishma. Hence, each person got two crowns times 600,000, 1.2 million. Those crowns, one for Naseh, one for Nishma, were referred to as our jewelry. Those crowns that we received from the Malachi Asharis, the heavenly angels, were referred to as our adornment, our jewelry. If you want to see a riot to this, if you take a look at Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed Gimel, Psukim Hey and Vav, when we sin with the Chet HaEgel, take a look, the Torah tells us, the Ribbon Shalom says, Va'ata, and now, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hoyreid Edicha Me'olecha. The Pasuk says, the Ribbon Shalom says, remove your jewelry from yourself. The next Pasuk says, Es Edyam Mehar Chayrev. The jewelry you should be stripped of that you received at Har Chayrev. What is this jewelry? What is this jewelry? The Mefarshim tell us, besides a reference to literal jewelry, literal adornment, it's also a reference to the crowns that we got, each person, one for Naseh and one for Nishma. When these two psukim, in Shemai's Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed Gimel, psukim Hey and Vav, refer to removing the jewelry that we got from Har Chayrev, Chazal tell us it's a reference to which jewelry? The jewelry of the two crowns that we got at Har Sinai, Har Chayrev, one for Naseh and one for Nishma. So Rav Naftali wants to suggest so beautifully, that's what Reish Lakish is teaching us. The Gemara is teaching us, cleanse yourself. But it used an unusual expression. It used the expression of kishoit atzmecha, which is an expression of adorn yourself, put jewelry on yourself, even though literally what it means is cleanse yourself, work on yourself, rectify and fix yourself. And the kasha we asked was, why use the unusual term jewelry? He wants to suggest, which jewelry is it referring to? The two crowns of Nasa and Nishma. The best way for a person to cleanse themselves and to work and rectify themselves first, kishoit atzmecha, reference to that jewelry. Which jewelry? The two crowns of Nasa and Nishma. Nasa and Nishma, of course, a reference to doing the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam, seeing not what is my agenda, but what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want. And it should be noted, by the way, that that's a humorous story that we said, that the person only after realized it wasn't my wife's hearing, but it was my hearing that needed to be improved. Maybe that's talk of the pshat. Nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma. We have to work on our doing and our hearing. It's not about my agenda. It's about what it is that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And that's why Reish Lakish specifically, when he speaks about cleansing yourself, uses the unusual expression of adorn yourself with jewelry. Which jewelry? Specifically the two crowns that we received of Nasa and Nishma. In other words, Chodesh El is a time to reprogram and to reframe that what I do is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. Are we fulfilling Nasa and Nishma? There were certainly times during the course of the year that, so to speak, we dropped the ball and we made mistakes, and it's an extraordinary opportunity for a person to judge themselves. About 20 years ago, I mentioned the Chazal, and I just thought of it again today when I was preparing these words for the shiur. And I hope it's something we speak about more often. Listen to one of those powerful chazals you'll ever hear, and then you'll understand and appreciate everything we said tonight in the shiur. Because you might wonder, why is it so critically important, shayfdim v'shaychim titem l'cha? I have to judge myself? Why? I won't judge somebody else. I won't critique somebody else. But why is it so critically and vitally important not only not to judge somebody else, but l'cha, I have to judge myself. Why? Chazal tell us, im yesh din lemata, ein din lemala. And im ein din lemata, yesh din lemala. I hope the profundity of those words, which may very well be some of the most powerful words you will ever hear in your sojourn in this world, is not lost on anybody. As I said earlier, not if you're in the Heichal listening, if you're on the phone listening, or you'll eventually hear the recording when it's sent out. Chazal tell us, im yesh din lemata, which we're translating to mean, if you will judge yourself lemata in this world, ein din lemala, then the Ribbono Shel Olam won't judge you lamala in Shemayim, meaning to say, with a harsh type of judgment. But in ein din lamala, but if you don't judge yourself in ein din lamata, if you don't judge yourself in this world, then yesh din lamala. In other words, there's going to be din and judgment somewhere. Do it lemata. Judge yourself. Critique yourself. Shoyftim v'shoytrim titein lecha. So that the blessing is ein din lemala. The Ribbono Shel Olam will not have to seek a harsh judgment for us in Shemayim. And that's certainly one of the most powerful, powerful benefits to Tite Lecha, appointing officers and judges over yourself, fulfilling the words of Chazal, im yesh din lemata, since you judged yourself, you worked on yourself, you took upon yourself nasa v'nishma, to cleanse yourself by adorning yourself with the jewelry of those two crowns, the blessing is ein din lemala, in a sense of a harsh judgment. The good news is that people have this ability. We are extraordinary. And Elul, it means something very, very powerful to us. Each year we mention different acronyms for Elul. Perhaps one of my favorite and one of the most powerful ones, Elul Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. We know that after using a washroom, we say the Asher Yatzar, and towards the end of Asher Yatzar, it says, Yefshar Lehiskayim Alamay Lefanecha. If my body didn't function properly, I couldn't stand before you, Hashem. Which word means I could not? The word E. The word E means I cannot, I could not. If you would drop the E, I cannot, what are the next four words in that bracha? Efshar lehiskayim velamoid lefonecha. What's the first letter of those four words? Efshar lehiskayim velamoid lefonecha spells the word Elul. Elul is a time to drop the E. I cannot. I don't have the ability. I'll never be able to. Elul is mamish the time, Rabbi Isai, to drop and rid ourselves of the E. But rather, Elul Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed is so powerfully the acronym of Efshar Lehiskayim Alamay Lefonecha. We could stand, we could endure, we could accomplish, we could work on ourselves to get the jewelry of Nasa and Nishma. Elul is an acronym of Efshar Lehiskayim Alamay Lefonecha, to tell ourselves, yes, we can. Somebody shared with me over the summer very beautifully, if you take a look at Ashrei, the Lamed of Ashrei says, Lohidia Livnei Ha'odam Givuraisov Uchvoyed Hadar Malchusoi, to inform the human beings of his mighty deeds, that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the glorious splendor of his kingdom, that of Hashem. Somebody told me, and I apologize, I don't know which sefer he said it from, that some want to translate Al Pidrush homiletically, Givuraisov, his strength, is not a reference, his mighty deeds and strength is not a reference to the his with the capital H. It's a reference to a his with a lowercase h. You know what every person has to remember? Lohaydiya livnei ha'odam. Every person has to be told, Givuraisav, his own strengths, his own unique capabilities, his own things that he could accomplish. And then when you do that, you'll be able to appreciate even more the glorious splendor of his kingdom. That, of course, a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thought it was such an uplifting vart. I thought it was such a powerful comment. It is drush, but think about it. Lohidia livnei ha'odam givuraisa, what every person needs to be told, what every person needs to hear and to know is givuraisa, your strengths. You know you have strengths. You have strengths. You have strengths and talents and accomplishments and gifts and things that you could do to acquire the adornment and the jewelry of Nasa and Nishma. Givuraisav, Elul is a time to find our strengths. We find our strengths by Titei Lecho, looking inside. And that brings about the bracha, Yesh Din Lemata, Ein Din Lemala. I hope that we merit the bracha. Perhaps the most well-known acronym for Elul is Ani L'Doidi, V'Doidi Li. You may recall that years ago we mentioned the word Ani is an interesting word. People translate the word ani as I. But really, if you think about it, ani could also be understood as a conjugation of two words. And I base this on the word bini. Bini is not a word. Bini we translate as my son. But bini is not a word. Bini is actually a conjugation of two words. Haben sheli. Haben sheli is shortened into one word, bini. So that's what bini is. Then the word ani, it would seem to follow logically, is also a conjugation of two words. If bini is haben sheli, then ani would be ha'on sheli. What's an on, aleph nun? You take a look in Pirkei Avos, it says, everybody has to know, la'on ata hoylech. Where are you headed? What's your direction in life? So an on is a direction. So ani no longer simply means I. Ani, following the pattern of bini, which is aben sheli, now means ha'on sheli, my direction. Now we could appreciate the most famous acronym for Elul. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. Could now be translated as ani ha'on sheli, when my direction in life, l'doidi, is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Ribbono Shel Olam responds, doidi li, my direction is towards you. And I hope, Ezras Hashem, as we start Chodesh Elul, we're zoicha to that acronym. Ani, ha'on sheli, my direction, my she'ifa, my focus must be l'daydi, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, ma'aseh v'nishma. And then in response, doidi li, the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us, and we should talk of b'zoicha to utilize this extraordinary gift of Elul, this extraordinary time of Shoiftim and Shoitrin Titein Lecha, and in that Zechus be able to better ourselves, and we talk of Vinch on each other, a good Gebench Dayar, a Ksiva Vechasima Taiva, and we're Zaycha to a year of fulfilling Nase Vinishma.